all our ducks in a row, and it's kind of oh nice catch. Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's a ESPN highlight right there. But we love to support things. We love to support things. And so in the back, you will see there are some mason jars by the coffee. What that is it's called cold brew, something all the kids are doing these days. Abby, do you like cold brew? She's liking cold brew. Yeah, and this is my friend Joe right here. Joe has a company called Yo Man Brewing Company, and I love watching entrepreneurs. So he makes teas, and he makes cold brew coffee. And he came to me one day, he goes, "Hey, you guys drink coffee at church?" I'm like, "Dude, we're a Christian. We drink a lot of coffee." He said, "Well, I made a Sunday morning brew with your logo on it, and it's called Sunday Morning Brew." So if you're an individual that likes coffee and is thinking, "I'm not really feeling like hot coffee right now," I would suggest you try it. The millennials are on to something with their cold brew. So thank you, Joe, for being here this morning. He's over from the Woodsville area. We love having him. We love supporting things like that. So drink early, drink often, some cold brew. Real quick, bring your attention to these things that are in your bulletin. This is how you can do your worship of giving. Giving is an act of worship. Giving says to yourself that I am declaring, I am telling the world and myself that this doesn't belong to me. That this is all the Lord's. Everything that I have is from the hand of God. And I am going to, out of worship, give back to the Lord. One, to say, "Lord, I love you. Thank you very much." Two, "Lord, I trust you." Giving is a very trusting kind of thing. It's scary. It's a giving thing. "Lord, I trust you." And then also you're taking your hand and you're releasing what can control you. Remember our sermon a couple weeks ago about how we talked about the things that identify strongholds in your life? Remember that? And we talked about finances are one of the things that get a lot of people worried, depressed, anxious. And I get it. Because bills don't pay themselves, right? That's what everyone always says. Bills don't pay themselves. And it gets scary. But I would encourage you to worship in the form of giving. It absolutely is freeing. So that's how you do it there. If you're someone who's like, "I wish I knew more what was going on," or "I wish I knew more, I always feel like I'm in the dark." Well, maybe you're not getting our weekly update in your email. Or maybe you're not on Facebook. Or maybe you don't check out the stuff that's in the back. This is a way that you can get on our weekly updated email. If you're not getting it, we apologize. This is the way to do it. Fill out your name, your address, and say, "I'd like one weekly, yes," or "No, I'd like to just get the quarterly one." And then what I think is more important on back, it is blank. We want to pray for you. This is a way that you can tell us how to pray for you. You can also put one on our prayer sled back there. You've heard of a prayer wall. We have a prayer sled. I love it. So right back there, there's a runner sled. You can put your prayer request back there. I'd absolutely love to have you. Now, our scripture this morning was about the Last Supper. It's where we get communion from. And we were planning on doing communion today, but it just kind of got away from us. We got so much going on with missional community groups, the wedding that we had last night. But communion as a group is something we want to kind of start making a tradition. And why is because we're commanded in Scripture to do it. And we've become kind of this young church, and we're starting to figure out who we are and what we're doing. And one of the things that's difficult is to do communion on top of the mountain. Because on top of the mountain, there's 250 people that change every week, and it's kind of all different. We're not sure, you know, and communion is one of those things where people have different thoughts and ways about doing it. But we as a church body are going to do communion. And what it's going to look like is we're going to start it the first Sunday of Advent on December 3rd. Which is a great time to do it because our Lord Jesus came to earth, took on the form of a human to give his life on Calvary. And communion is something that we do to remember. And what we're going to do as a church that you're kind of mentally ready, mentally prepared, is that we're going to have a service that Sunday on the 3rd. I'm going to preach about communion, what it is, what we believe it is, what Scripture talks about it. And then also how we're going to do it. We're going to end the service with a song, and then communion's going to be set up back at those tables. And we're going to come together as a body of believers, and we're going to go to that communion station. I will lead us in communion, remembering Jesus' body broken for us. Remember Jesus' blood poured out for us. And then we will partake together. We as Loon Mountain Ministry practice what's called an open communion. What that means is that you do not have to be a member of our church. I'm thankful because if that was the case, none of us could have communion here. Because we don't have members. Not even me. So I'm glad we practice an open communion, okay? But what it means, if you look in Scripture, that you are an individual who has come to Jesus and said, Jesus, take my life. I put my full hope and trust in you. That's been something that you have done on your journey, that you have given your life to Christ. Now, we do not practice a communion where you have to be perfect, because guess what? None of us would be having communion either. But what we say is when we come to the communion table, and this is something that I'll talk about, you know, and I don't want to get too deep in my sermon right now for December 3rd, but it says that you must come in a worthy manner. That's what Paul says. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about a time where people divided themselves based upon their household income. Sound familiar? We don't mean to, but we do. Oh, they drive this. Oh, they vacation there. Oh, they have a closet full of Patagonia. We do. And back then, what was happening was the rich people and their stately manner and their I am worthy because I'm rich were taking all the communion and were leaving none for the poor people. That is ugh. That just makes me ugh. I grew up as the old staunch Baptist. So when my pastor got up there, no one shall partake of the cup in an unworthy manner. They must come with clean hands and a pure heart. I was like 12 and I'm like, I don't have either of those. I didn't wash my hands today. And what's a pure heart? That sounds weird. And I felt like, I can't do this. No. Do not get through your head that you have to be something other than a believer in Jesus to take communion. That's why he gave his blood. That's why he broke his body. Because we're not perfect. So we'll get there on December 3rd. But what I love about it is the word communion. And this is where I'm going to transition into missional community groups. Communion and community. Hear those two words? Language is everything, folks. Language is everything. And in Scripture, there is reasons why we use language. So communion means this, with unity. Communion. Community is also with unity. And so, it is as a group that we are wanting to come together in this thing called missional community groups. There's a big board out back that explains it all. But Drew and Nathan are going to get up in a minute here and share. But I want you to hear from me, the senior pastor's mouth, that we are excited about this. That here's the thing. Churches all have these things called small groups. Churches have all these things called service groups. Churches have all these things. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be very honest with you right now. I don't like adding things to your life, and I don't like adding things to my life. The Corey household right now has three beautiful children that are going three different directions. Just like you, I have a wife that's running a thrift shop. I have a ministry and job that I'm working. We have friends. We have family. We have sports. We have chickens. As if we needed that in our life. I will say, though, that chickens are a pet with a product. So they're worth it. They're worth it. A pet with a product, you can pass through me. Okay. But when I start thinking about adding anything to my life, my head starts to hurt. I'm like, no. And you might be the same way. And then when I'm a pastor and the organizational leader of a group and I make expectations like this is what's going on and this is when we'll meet and this is what we'll do, I hate to break it to you folks, but you let me down big time. Because you might have a valid excuse, like somebody's in the hospital or you're really puking or something. And then sometimes you might be like, well, the wind's blowing from the east and my husband has a hangnail and we just can't make it. I am flawed. It's on those nights where I'm like, why do I even try to organize these people? They don't want to do anything. And so I don't like doing that. I don't. So what's beautiful about missional communities is it is a mindset, not an extra thing to throw on. It's this idea that Marcus is not responsible for getting the gospel to your group, 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 to your group. No. According to Scripture, my job is to give you the tools, the know-how, and the encouragement to bring the gospel to your community, to your family. So whether you're a plumber or a train engineer, is that right? Yeah, that's engineers, right? Yeah, it's close enough. You know? Or you own a hotel, or you're a carpenter, or you're a mom, or you're a photographer, or you tattoos. That is awesome. Love that you're in our church. Whatever it is that you do, that you live that on mission. You live that on mission. So Drew, I'm really excited. So when Drew came to us, you know, a year and a half ago, and we sat down and we're like, all right, Drew, what are we going to do here? Well, the first thing was obvious. I said, Drew, I'm horrible with details. I'm horrible with admin. Can you please help me out? Because I need help. And so Drew very graciously started working with our database. He started doing our weekly updates. He started working on our newsletter. He started doing a better job with the info at Loon MTN Ministry, because when Jackie left and that Loon MTN Ministry info at Loon, that email came to me, forget it. You know, answering the phones at the ministry office, answering the answer machine, and getting back to people about what time our church service starts, and can a wheelchair make it down the mountain? All those kind of cool calls that we get. But then, those are just some of the things, the nuts and bolts, but what is a passion in Drew's heart? We wanted to say, what's your passion? And how can you bring that passion to Loon Mountain Ministry? And one of the things he said was, small groups. Making sure that this body of believers is not just a group of people that show up on Sunday morning and then just kind of go away, and that they create this little spiritual box Sunday morning that they operate in, and that's their spirituality. But that they understand that each one of us is called to go and make disciples. Every single one. That verse was not meant for pastors. That verse was meant for believers. And I said, awesome. And he found some really cool programs online. He got behind it. They've been doing a missional community group at his house for the last year. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Drew. He's going to talk about missional communities, where we've come from in the last year, where we're going. And he's going to bring up his sidekick, Nathan. Best sidekick there is. He's a little wounded right now, but he's looking pretty good without a sling, though, huh?
Just tell me if this shoulder's dropping, I'm trying to get out of the habit.
Yes, Nathan had shoulder surgery, what was it, 8 weeks ago now?
Like seven weeks. So.
All right, let's just start off with a word of prayer. Like Marcus said, this is something that's very heavy on my heart, not just for Loon Mountain Ministry or the local church, but really the universal church, God's church, and his design for his people. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Father, we thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, we know you are here. And we just ask now that you would be the one that communicates truth this morning, that you would bring us to a better understanding of your love and your grace. And we pray that that might compel us to live lives obedient to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so before I get into the details of what missional community groups are, I'm sure you guys have seen in the bulletin for about the last year, missional community groups, either at the windows or check out the display in the back. Finally got the display up. Sorry about that if you were wondering. It's been in the bulletin, but it hasn't been up. So, but you've probably been seeing this and wondering. Before we get into that, I just want to say that a phrase that I heard like a month ago was said, if the what of your ministry or your discipleship, if the what is bigger than the why, you failed because you've lost sight of the very thing that has saved you. And so going into this, I want to just be clear that missional community groups are not the gospel. They are not what saves. But as we look at scripture, this is kind of what some leaders and some believers that I really have come to respect. Hey, Drake and Brett, what's going on, guys? Good to see you. It's something that as we look at scripture, we believe that God is pointing his people in the principles of missional community groups. I'm not going to say to missional community groups, but to the principles of what we're going to talk about. So it's Christ alone that saves, and it is not missional community groups. But as Marcus was saying, a year and a half ago, my wife Trish and I moved up here. I started working as assistant pastor for Loon Mountain Ministry, and I knew one of the jobs that I was going to be responsible for was developing small groups in the church. And this was an exciting thing to me. I had been a part of a lot of small groups. I grew up in a Christian home, went to Bible school, and so I've done everything from what they call small group to community group to accountability group to breakfast group to men's group, you know, done a lot of that. And
Buffalo Wild Wings, well, that
might be future. Yeah, we'll have to work that out. And, you know, I had a lot of different experiences, but overall, for the most part, a lot of them just kind of like fizzled out over the years. Either you lose touch or for whatever reason, you know, it kind of dies. And so going into my thinking about, even before we moved up here, I knew that this was going to be something that we'd be working on, as this is a new church and we're looking to, you know, develop this in a church. And so I thought about, all right, what should be the purpose of a small group? And so I backed up and I said, well, wait, what is the purpose of the church? And, you know, the first being that the church is God's tool for being a light to the nation, for reaching the world. And as I read this morning in Ephesians 1, it says, Christ is the head, we are the body, and he intends to fill everything in every way with his body. And so, okay, I knew that. I knew that the Great Commission, which says, go into all the earth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you always to the very ends of the age. And so this was at the front of my mind. So small groups should have something to do with reaching others around us, locally and beyond. And then secondly, as I thought about the purpose of the church, it's to mature believers in Christ. To build one another up. Ephesians 4 talks about the unity of the body and how we are to speak truth into one another's lives that we might be matured into Christ. And so based on those two things, I started to think. And, you know, totally by God, he, through a friend introduced me to missional community groups. I was talking to him about some of the stuff that I was learning, and he was like, dude, I have some awesome resources that my church is doing that you would really, really appreciate. And so that's kind of when it all started. And you're probably still wondering, what are missional community groups? That's just kind of the background. But in my own terms, I think that missional community groups is what the purpose of the church is outside of Sunday morning. So here we say to know Jesus and to make him known. We want to make Christ known in everything, in every way, in every part of our lives. And we also want to know him better. So that's the developing maturity amongst us and telling others about him. But as far as the definition that we're kind of going with, you'll see it back on the board. A missional community is a family of believers living in community as everyday missionaries. If you were here last week and you heard my sermon about our identity, you'll notice some things. As everyday missionaries in a specific area to a particular people, by demonstrating the gospel as servants to others and verbally declaring the gospel to themselves and others as disciples of Jesus. And now, that's really wordy and kind of long. I don't expect any of you to come to a full understanding of what these groups are based on this definition, based on that poster board, based on this piece of paper that's back there, or even based on our conversation today. In fact, Nathan and myself and the other group leaders are still coming to a better understanding every day of what a life living on the mission of Christ looks like. So if at the end of this you feel like, wow, I heard some things that I like, but I don't really know what it's all about, don't feel like you can't approach us and ask more questions. And so let's just look at the name of missional community groups. Why mission? It's the first thing. As I said, we are Jesus' last appearance on earth. He gave his disciples the Great Commission, and that was to go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that he has commanded. And one of those things was to make disciples. So we're teaching disciples. We're making disciples who can make disciples. And it's very much about multiplication. So that is our mission. 2 Corinthians 5 says that, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." And so, you know, as believers, Christ has totally transformed our lives. And as Marcus was saying, if we have come to know Jesus, we have surrendered all to him. And it's no longer about creating our own life, but it's about living in submission to him and what he calls us to do. And he calls us to make disciples. And so we're calling that a life on mission, with that in the forefront of our minds. And so missional community, what's the deal with community? Well, first of all, community is a part of our identity, because even God, he is a triune God, three persons. He himself exists in community with himself, and as well as with his creation. And so we believe heavily in relational discipleship and relational mission. And so we need to be in a community with those who don't know Christ, so that they can be reached, so that they can experience his love, as well as a community with those who do know Christ, so that we can build one another up into Christ. And so, you know, community is very important as we seek to be the church. So I'm going to let Nathan talk here for a little bit about kind of how this group is more than a gathering. It's not just, I'll just let you go. You know what you mean.
It's really interesting, because the easiest way to look at it really is that we are the church every day, not just on Sunday, which Marcus was talking about. And what does that look like throughout the week? And what I love is missional communities, at least this model, it gives us enough to get things started and be intentional with what we're trying to do. But it's not enough that it's, you know, if you create a model that's so specific, it might work for one community, but it probably won't work for another. And the fact is, and while that's also great because it works in every context, every culture, I mean, this was created by a church planner, and he lives in Seattle, Washington, or not Seattle, Tacoma, Washington. And we live in New England, far different culture, in a ski resort town. We're a ski resort, like, we do church on a mountain. So it's vastly different. And so it's great because it works for both, but it's tough because as leaders, we don't know what we're doing exactly. And we're slowly figuring it out, and we're asking the Spirit to lead us and guide us in this. But what is important to know is that just as the church, we don't primarily study the Bible because we do other things too. That's something that we do because we always think of Bible studies. And Bible studies, you go and it's like, all right, we're going to open the Word of God, and then we'll read it, and then we'll talk about it. And that is what we will do. We will study the Word, and we'll know that, and we'll seek truth. But that's not what we're primarily. We're also something else is like small groups. When you think of like, so there's Bible study that they study the Bible, and that's their primary focus. A small group, at least ones that I've been to, I don't know about you, Drew, or any of you guys, but most of the time it's all about the community, which is awesome. And you see this group of believers, and they come together, and they hold each other accountable, and they meet needs with each other, and they love one another, which is beautiful. And it's just as studying the Word of God is beautiful, but we also don't primarily just love one another. That's super important. But, a lot of small groups tend to look kind of like support groups. And maybe they're not as outward focused and missional. And then another aspect is that you see other groups that are like so focused on like, we've got to go out. We've got to do stuff. We've got to make sure we're loving people out in the community. And we're being, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a social activist group.
That's it. Yeah, we go out, which is also beautiful and so important. But we're also not primarily that. And it's the encompassing of all those things. We should be in God's Word. Absolutely, we should love one another and meet each other's needs. And absolutely, we shouldn't be so focused on ourselves that we forget that there's a world out there and a great commission that God commissioned us to. A lot of these missional communities, we're going to be striving to focus on like, how can we make sure we're doing all those? Because many, many groups that I've seen, they'll kind of focus on one of them, and then they'll stay there, and then that's all it becomes. And a lot of times I've seen them die off just because it's, oh, well, like, we're just supporting one another. And then, and especially in New England, like, churches, they just start to get older and older and older, and eventually one day if they don't reach out to younger people, they're going to be gone. That's just how life goes.
Yeah. The point that Nathan is making is that the not one of those things are the end, you know what I mean? We see them as means. We see that, studying the Bible is extremely important. Going out into our community and serving is extremely important. And also living as a family and supporting one another and being in community is extremely important. But we don't want to see them as the end goal. We want to our goal is to live out our lives as the hands and feet of Jesus and be the church and accomplishing those two things, to knowing Christ and to making him known. And so breaking it down, those are kind of like default modes that a lot of small groups can get into. And so we just want to be careful. Like I said, if we're doing one of those things and the what of it becomes more than the why, then we're losing sight of Christ. And so we don't want to do that. But.
And one of the things, I mean, we really believe that like doing these things in a group together rather than just going out like one-on-one or one person going out and being like, I'm going to go be on mission to this people or person and then coming back, the hope is that we can encourage like believers to go out together. So like if I'm going to go to somebody, I want to do it with my brother in Christ next to me so that we can be growing together and bringing someone along with you. And that's going to be a strong focus as well because it's... There's this, hello. Thank you, Greg. When you go on I don't know how many of you guys have been on mission trips to other countries, but a lot of times you'll go on these mission trips and you're like, okay, the goal is, the mission that we're on is to reach these people in Haiti and help them build houses and we're going to share the gospel with them. And a lot of times you get on the mission trip and you get to Haiti and you start building for these people, and absolutely you have a mission towards the people in Haiti, but you start to see the brokenness in each other when you're out working and sharing the gospel and being on mission together. And doing that together in community, if I was doing it alone, nobody could look and see, wow, Nathan, you're really broken as you're trying to serve people because you're broken yourself. If I have a community with me, they can be there to encourage me and call me out when I need to be called out. And you realize that the mission might not necessarily even be the people that you're reaching out to. It could be the people that you're going with. And so that's, I think, the biggest thing is that we believe that missional communities are going to be the primary way that we're going to be growing up in our faith and growing up in a community of believers.
Yeah. So you're probably wondering, like, all right, all these ideas sound good, but how does it look like? How is my involvement with a missional community going to look like? So kind of the format that I think, well, each group, we have four groups right now that we're going to start off with here in the very near future. But the format that a typical missional community group takes is there's at least a once a week meeting of some sort, whether it be going out into the community and serving, or coming together, sharing a meal in somebody's home, doing a study of scripture, or a study of something that is going to equip us to better live out the mission of Christ. And so it's going to be involved, that once a week thing, but we hope that it's not exclusive to that. We hope that with your missional community, the people in it, you're seeing them more than once a week with whatever the leaders of the group are organizing and at church. The hope is that you are joining the leaders in your group with different opportunities. Yes, you might be meeting with your group on Tuesday night, but say one of your missional community group members is having a neighbor over on Thursday, it would be our hope that you take opportunities like that to join them in the mission of the everyday things. And so, you know, talking about a holistic view of mission in the church, there are rhythms in all of our lives that we do, ways that we can have opportunities to engage others on mission. For me, missional community groups has reminded me to decompartmentalize my life, where, you know, we oftentimes think that we separate the sacred and the secular. So, for example, when I come to church Sunday morning, when I play worship, this is God. I'm giving that time to God. But when I go home and watch football, the Eagles aren't playing this week, sadly, but hey, they're 8-1. Anybody else excited?
Didn't think so. No.
But when I go home and watch football, that's kind of like the secular. That's just my time. And so we want to break that mold, that whether you're working, whether you are actively serving in the church, or you're resting or having a recreation time, whether you're celebrating or whether you're suffering, in all these things, they are opportunities to live out mission and to point others towards Christ, both in your actions and your words. And that, you know, just comes down to that Ephesians 1 verse that says that Christ intends to fill the earth with his church, everything in every way. And so it's a holistic view. We don't really have a start and a stop time. Like the missional community group gatherings, it's not like, all right, we're buckling down to start intentionally thinking about our life on mission, and then when we leave at 8:30 or 9, we stop. You know, we are hoping that you will start to gain a more holistic view and a more intentional mindset about how you can use everyday rhythms of your life as a place to tell others about the love of Christ that we've experienced.
Yeah, we'll transition into a time. We're going to actually have the group leaders come up, and I guess I'll start. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter. Yeah, each missional community group will have a missional focus, somebody we're intentionally going to be reaching out to. That's not to say that's the only person, because we're called to reach out to everybody. But it's a way to kind of hone in, and when we're proactively going out and being on mission, we're always on mission. We always are reacting to the culture around us, and so hopefully we're always doing that. And that'll look like sporadic, but we do want to have that intentional focus. So each group will have its own intentional focus, Drew talked about kind of rhythms and stuff. As we talk about these missional focuses, maybe some of your rhythms might match up with some of these missional focuses in ways that you could be like, wow, I'm already there and doing that. Maybe I could be more intentional about being on mission there. And then actually have a group of people to be like, hey, we're on a team and we're on the same, we have the same like focus that we want. How can we work together to do this? But we'll do that. The one thing I do want to add, and it's the same thing that Jesus says to his disciples, is that you count the cost. Having a missional focus is, and having a, being a, being a part of a community on mission, it might not always be the easiest thing, and it might not always mean that you're comfortable. We ask that you count the cost, that this isn't just something you want to come and be a part of a wonderful group that makes you feel good inside. We're on mission, and by all means, we're going to love each other and do that and meet each other's needs. But we're going to be doing stuff, and I'm excited about that. So I guess I'll just start and go into mine. So my name's Nathan, and I'll be, I have a couple, yeah, I'll be leading.
Why don't we have all the missional community group leaders come up?
Okay.
Right now, yeah.
Yes.
If you are leading a missional community group, please come up.
Please come up.
Hey, I was just getting to like that view right there.
Yeah. So I want to say a little something else about missional focus. Hey guys. In our missional focus, what we're not looking to do is kind of segregate the body as far as Nathan is going to be. Oh, I'm stealing your thunder, sorry. His focus is going to be to millennials and the wanderers, but I'll let him tell you more about that. And say the Corey's missional focus is going to be towards the Linwood Rec Department and the Linwood schools. What we're not looking to do is say, all right, if you're in your 20s, you're going to be in this group. And if you have a family and are a young parent, you're going to be in this group. There can be kind of, the way I see it, a couple of good reasons for you to feel called to join a missional community group. One could be because you are already in some of those natural rhythms that the group leaders are in. So if you are in your 20s and you have a heart for reaching the people that you are naturally around, that's good. We're not going to say that you shouldn't join one of those groups. Or if you have kids in the school and you already find yourself in those places, we're going to encourage you. That is a good reason. But another reason could also be because as we see this, we see these groups as a means of discipleship, building each other up. And so maybe you have come to get to know Scott and Sharon very well, and know that they have been believers for longer than just about anyone standing up here has been alive. And so, you say, hey, I don't necessarily find myself in Lincoln Green very often. You laugh, but that's actually their missional focus. I don't necessarily find myself in Lincoln Green very often.
I want to pick out a good room.
He's scoping out the territory. But I would love to sit under Scott and Sharon and be discipled by them and join them on a mission that they felt called to. And hopefully someday, you get to the point where you learn a lot about discipleship and life on mission, and you say, all right, maybe it's time for me to step back and start leading others in community in some other rhythms that naturally happen in my life. So all that to say, Nathan wants more than 20-something-year-olds in his group. Marcus wants more than young families. We love the intergenerational relationships, and we feel like that's a huge value for discipling each other. So I guess, Nathan, you can start now.
Yeah, so like you said, and I actually met with so the other people who are going to be helping me lead this group is Nick in the back with the beard, and then my girlfriend Beth, so we'll be helping lead this group, and we were talking this past week, and it looks like, because it's a very obviously millennial wanderer is a really wide like target I'm shooting at, but we want to narrow it down a little bit more, because I wanted to figure out, I'm like, millennials and wanderers, they wander, and how can we like go to where they are if they're just wandering everywhere? So we kind of narrowed it down a little bit more, so it'll probably look like students at Plymouth State, and more specifically students from Plymouth State that come up here to ski or snowboard or work at Loon, as well as the internationals. There's a lot of internationals that come here every year. There's a couple houses that are close by, so we know where they are, and you know what it might look like if you would become a part of the missional community that we're leading, would be trying to, you know, whether it's like going and being, first of all, with each other, but being out on the hill with people. You know, we've thought of different ways we can provide a meal, because a lot of them come up for the weekends, especially just the ones from Plymouth State. They come up for the weekends. Maybe providing a meal on Saturday night for them and getting to know them. Just like you said, we want to do this relationally. And we've thought of a lot of different ideas. And like you said, this isn't just, you know, it's sweet for like 20-year-olds to come and be a part of this. But it's not just about 20-year-olds. It's not just about older high school kids. It's, you know, we could use people who'd help host. I'm not good at cooking. So, you know, if we're doing a meal, I'd like to provide a good one so they want to come back. So that's kind of been a lot of our focus. So that'll be the focus. And yeah, I guess that's my group.
Passing the mic right now. So my name is Sean. This is Elizabeth, my wife. The missional group that that I guess is organically starting to happen in our neck of the woods is north of the Notches. So ours is sort of location based, sort of happening in our neighborhood right now, just trying to get to know the people that are there, spend time together, and basically share Christ with them. If you guys, if anyone else here lives basically north of the Notches, anywhere in our vicinity, can hang out with us, and it's basically really simple in nature. So.
I need to apologize to Sean and Elizabeth, because in the last 3 weeks or so that I have been creating this display in the back, I hadn't really connected with them to know exactly when they planned on starting. They had communicated that they were a part of the community group that met at my house this last year, and you know, several weeks ago they communicated that they were going to be moving their thoughts and efforts and prayers to starting the group up in their area, but I have yet to follow up with what the time frame
of
that was going to be.
Having everyone up, we were like, I think that's us, because that's where our heart is, and that's we have been participating in the group. But it's not probably as formal in nature as what some of the other efforts are or are becoming, but it's where our heart is, and we live kind of outside of these townships, so I think it'd be kind of neat for there to be some kind of organic effort to just pull people together, be involved in one another's lives, and just kind of whatever that rhythm is. Our rhythm, we haven't even lived in the area very long ourselves, so we don't even know what our rhythms are yet. But we know where we live, and we know there are others that that live around us, and that's enough. So we're going to get our hands dirty and start to get to know those people and spend time together. So,
well, Sharon and I have lived in this area for many, many years and have known the Lord for a long time. And Drew sort of used this analogy before. You know, we've been to countless Bible studies and groups and church, you know, gatherings and you name it over the years. And they get a sense, okay, what do you do with all that? You gain all this knowledge about the Lord and all his principles, and what do you do? And I think when Marcus came on board and saw how he lived his life on mission, it was just a life that he just naturally had, just would just invite people, and they're very relational. And I think that's the Jesus model. It's the model that Jesus used, is to getting to know people, to love on them, and to be the God that he is to us. And it's a way of living your life in a way where it's like, it's not in a box. It's like day to day, how do I live like Christ in my community in a very natural way? I mean, the challenge for me over the years is like, you know, I was thinking too much in a box and less of, you know, you can take the gospel message everywhere throughout your life. And you know, I have friends that live at the Green, and I just feel led to, I can relate to them very well there. And it's not because, like, oh, these guys have all these bases covered, I think I'll take the Green. It's not that way at all. I think that's, I have a natural bent toward to wanting to serve those people there and to share the gospel with them there. And what that's going to look like, I don't know. Tonight I'm going to be watching a ball game with someone I know there. It's that type of thing. It's relational. They need, some of these people are shut in. They don't get out much. And I think I'm that type of person that very patient and can listen to them and be there. So that's just very simply put where I'm at. Do you have anything to add to that, Sharon, at all?
For myself, I don't know what that's going to look like entering into that, but I'm looking forward to developing relationships with, I mean, I've lived in this community 63 years so far, but I've worked out of town a lot or had small children, so I haven't connected a lot with people in the community outside of this community here, so I'm really looking forward to getting to know some of the people at Lincoln Green. I don't know what that's going to look like. Scott and I are both very comfortable with one-on-one discipleship. That's what we've done for years. I'm just looking forward to developing relationships, doing discipleship in a community, having anybody here come on board that wants to join us. We'll grow together. We can serve together. I'm just looking forward to it, but only God knows what it's going to look like. And we don't have a start date. We don't have, you know, it's just...
You can come to the ball game tonight. It's football. What I would encourage you people is that everyone here is in a different walk of life. Each one of you has a different level of faith, an understanding of God's word, his principles. Each one of you different. And I think God has given you something. And you need to find out what that something is over time, sooner or later. And like myself, when I was a young boy growing up, I never thought that I would stand up in front of a group of people and talk about anything, let alone the Lord. But the Lord changes you over time. And though it may be a little frightening to think, and no one's calling you to lead something at this point in time or do anything like that, just come alongside, you learn, you grow. And then in time, the Spirit of the Lord will change your heart. And who knows what that's going to look like. I can't say what that's going to look like. And no one knows, but... God knows what's your purpose. He's given you something, and he wants you to take what you've been given and to share it with others for eternal, who has eternal value. So.
And you don't need gray hair to come on board. It's camouflage.
We'll all be joining their missional community group December 19th, because that's where the caroling ends, is at Lincoln Green. So we will all be there. And maybe you can introduce us to some of your friends. Like I said earlier, we're busy. We're exhausted. I did not want to add another Jenga piece to our tower to watch it just all fall over. And so Heidi and I began to pray, Lord, show us what to do. And it was very clear, just live on mission where you are. And so we coach rec teams. Heidi coaches soccer. I coach skiing. I coach baseball, and we have a lot of those teams at our house, and we're with that. Heidi's been on the rec department board of directors. I'm on the chamber board of directors, was on the school board for a little bit, and just kind of intermingling with those folks. And so if that's something that you're passionate about, we would love to have you come join us. And it doesn't look like adding more to your schedule. It looks like living on mission where you are. And so we would love to, if that's some passion that you have, whether you have kids in there or not, we would love it if you had a passion for the youth in this town.
Awesome. And Trish and I, we have been living in North Woodstock, right in the Alpine Lodge, for about a year and a half now. And as we've been praying about it as well, and just thinking, who would be our most natural missional focus in our normal rhythms, I think it kind of came to us as we started going on walks with Evie, our nine-month-old daughter, and started naturally just meeting neighbors who are walking their dogs, who are mowing their lawns, meeting these people just genuinely. We head down to Wayne's at least a few times a week to get something that we need to make for dinner or for dinner or whatever. So the community of North Woodstock, both the residents and the people who work there, are going to be our missional focus. We feel that that's just a natural kind of where we have the most exposure to those who don't yet believe in Christ. So that's going to be our missional focus. Do you want to say anything? She doesn't want to. Yeah. And so we're going to wrap this up here, but you know, I want you all to know that, first of all, we're not on separate teams, and we talked about this. We actually went to the Bible study on Tuesday night to talk to them about what we were up to. And for all of you, don't feel like we're on separate teams. Whether you choose to be a part of a missional community group or not, we are all for Christ and what He is accomplishing. We're not trying to start a movement. We believe that God is in the midst of what we're doing. And like I said in the beginning, we're not doing this in the name of missional community groups. We're doing it in the name of Christ. And so we plan on helping each other out, supporting each other in prayer and in resources and in time with everything that we have, just so that Christ can be glorified. And so now, you know, you're probably wondering, all right, this sounds good. What now? Well, we want to invite all of you to be a part of a missional community group. We believe that that discipleship in the everyday stuff of life and God's church being the way that He reaches the whole world is imperative to being a follower of Him. And we've adopted this model that we call missional community groups, and it would be our desire to see all of you join a group in some way, shape, or form. And we hope that you'll pray about it. We hope that you'll come talk to us. The display is going to be in the back. There's a piece of paper with a little bit more information, stuff that we've already said. But this isn't for just leadership in the church. It's not just for super Christians. It's for normal, everyday people who have experienced, whether you've experienced Christ's love personally or not, we would love to have you, but it's out of the love that He has shown us, that God has shown us, that we do these things. It's not out of a religious obligation. There was a guy here last week named Jay, and he had a hat that said, "Religion says do, Jesus says done." And so we don't want this to be just another religious activity. Because if Christ is not at the center of it, and if He's not in the midst of it, it's pointless. Because we are for His glory and His fame. So I'm going to pray for us, pray for these groups, and then we will transition to lunch. Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise You for the work that You have done in the Lincoln Woodstock community, in the whole White Mountains, Lord. Just thinking back, 5 years ago, this room was vacant, and since then, God, it's just amazing to see Your work that You've been building. You've been preparing so many of us to come here and live for You, God, to tell the world around us who You are and what You are like because of Jesus, Your Son. Lord, I pray that we don't get bogged down with the what of our ministry, the what of our everyday lives, Lord, but remember Jesus in the midst of everything that we do. And may his love compel us to live as a reflection of him in every area of our lives. Amen. All right, I just want to finish off, and I'm going to read a passage for you guys, and then we will be dismissed. I think we're going to skip our last song for time-wise. This is 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 14. It says, "For Christ's love compels us." Ooh, I knew there was wind in here. "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." I love that verse because it just reminds us that we are Christ's ambassadors, and his ministry is one of reconciliation, that he wants to bring the whole world back to himself. Have a great day. Go in peace. Come talk to us. There's food in the back. Oh, yeah. If you didn't know, we share a meal after. We'd love to get to know you better. Have a great day.